Father, we thank you for your mercy today. Father, we thank thee for your eternal purpose. Lord, we thank you for the love wherein you have shown us. Lord, we thank you where you have intervened in our lives. Lord, we thank you for the deliverances you have brought us. And Lord, that you have brought us yet again to this place. Father, we thank thee for what you have in your heart yet to give unto us. Father, we want to pray this morning. Lord, even as the word said, light the fire that once burned bright. Lord, I confess I know not how I ought to pray. But Lord, you are the one that is a consuming fire. And Father, you would give unto us that which we ask of thee, and you upbraid us not. God, we pray for that fire. Lord, even as the words have been coming, one after another, my God, Father, we pray that as we would go from this place back into our circumstances, into our routines, that the fire of God would come and turn our lives upside down. Lord, that the anointing would come and deliver us from every ancestral spirit, Lord God. Father, we pray that you would loose us, below us, into the service of God and into the eternal purpose of God by the blood of Jesus Christ. We pray for your covering today, your traveling mercies, your hand to be upon the vehicles. No breakdowns, we say in Jesus' name. Your hand upon the occupants of the vehicles. No evil spirit to do any harm to the people of God. And bring us to our destination, we pray. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. I wonder if we could break a little bread, if that's okay. We've been very privileged with the Word of God. For me, I think, I was in the Czech conference and then in Dubuque and then here. And it's been like, it's been like a flood, but more like rapid succession of gunfire. And the ebb and the flow of the Spirit of God has been such a watering upon the soul. You know, and such a life that you don't want to go away. You know, I went with to the Czech conference in some trepidation, in some personal struggles. Going overseas has always been somewhat difficult for me. I become aware of my insecurities, my weaknesses. They seem like they are an open door. I was pleasantly surprised that I didn't have that struggle. I was very comfortable. And, you know, during the length of the stay, as we are breaking bread and in fellowship, and the Spirit of God is flowing, there's a confidence and a comfortableness that is you're receiving. And I thought, well, gee, I almost don't want to go home. It's something like being on the cutting edge of what God is doing, whetting the appetite, you understand. You know, when I went, I was, and the Spirit of God was moving. I mean, in the conference, and if you've got, I'm sure they will be available. I'm not sure who the channel is, Brother Gordon, to get the material and begin to go over it and chew on it. There was so much material that even being there physically and present in person, you know, so much of it just goes over your head, and you have to go back and go back and go back. You know, so going, I was, the Spirit of God was moving, and, you know, He's putting His finger on, I believe, each of us, where we are, what we're doing. And there's a calling and election that He's confronting us with. Do you want it? You know, and for me personally, I like what I do. I like working with my hands. So there's a little bit of trepidation because I don't know what's on the other side. You understand? So there's a little bit of fear, and that was kind of working on me in the beginning. But by the time I got to the end, you know, and I had confessed to some brothers about the struggle I was having, and we just had a little prayer, and you know, amen, and continue. And I got to the end of the conference, and I thought, you know, now what I'm afraid of is I'm going to go home and find out what I have been doing is going to be so boring and so elementary compared to what the presence of God has been like, you know. But, you know, praise the Lord, because it's these moments that He, you know, there's a thread. And there's a needle attached to the thread. And, you know, there's a thread in the ministration of the Word. You know, one of the things that really blessed me about the Czech conference was the ebb and the flow of the Spirit from meeting to meeting to meeting. And there was such a diversity of ministry, one different from the other as night is from day. And yet the continuity of the building blocks, one would come in and begin to minister, and they were by the Spirit laying down certain building blocks. The next one would come in and by the Spirit build on those building blocks yet another aspect or another another segment of what God was saying. You know, and to see that in action, you know, sometimes we're in our individual lives, we tend to get isolated away from the bigger picture. You know, the responsibilities, the routine. You know, it has a way of like the hamster on the wheel. Oh, hallelujah. But God is opening the door to the cage, you see. And maybe graduating us to a little bigger wheel. Because we are bought with a price. Therefore, our life is not our own. Amen. And,
You know, and this has been the lie that the devil has told us. You know, the extent of your life is your career. You know, so you go to school or whatever it is, trade school or your apprentice, however it is, to learn whatever aspect or field you're supposed to be or you want to be, and, you know, so on and so forth. And that is the sum total of your life. Become a very good whatever, fill in the blank. Yet there's a higher purpose, a higher place, a higher calling, a higher election. Amen. There's a verse in Numbers 18. Numbers, it says, let's start in 5. I think you will be able to pick up the context of it all. And ye shall keep the charge of the sanctuary and the charge of the altar, that there be no wrath any more upon the children of Israel. And I, behold, I have taken your brethren, the Levites, from among the children of Israel. To you they are given as a gift for the Lord, to do the service of the tabernacle of the congregation. Therefore thou and thy sons with thee shall keep your priest's office for everything of the altar and within the veil, and ye shall serve. I have given your priest's office unto you as a service of gift, and the stranger that cometh nigh shall be put to death. And the Lord spake unto Aaron, behold, I also have given thee the charge of my offerings of all the hallowed things. I have given them by reason of the anointing to thy sons by an ordinance forever. Hallelujah. You know, we understand that the Levites and the office of the ministry and the priests in the Old Testament is a type and a shadow. Right? But there's principle here that goes beyond the Old Testament. It wasn't that God selected Levi because it was a good choice. It was the best candidate for out of Israel, out of the tribes of Israel. But God selected them by reason of the anointing. Amen? Hallelujah. And the thing here, it says in verse 7, I have given your priest's office unto you as a service of gift. One of the things that we are very, very much governed by is lifestyle. Amen? You know, does the whole world goes around on the basis of lifestyle, right? Fashion plays a big part of it. I was, you know, listening to Brother Tajoki last night, and he was saying that what you wear is a form of worship. And I never thought of that before. And I'm looking back in my younger years or teenage years, when I was in rebellion, what I wore was that statement of that particular form of rebellion. You know, because the society is broken into types of lifestyles. Amen? You know, and you look at the young people and you see all kinds of categories of different lifestyles, and you look at them, and not just young people. This day and age, it's everybody. You know, there used to be a separation. The older generation that came from a position of moral stability, you could see it, you know, by their conduct, by their dress. These days, it's one big mixed up pot. Old and young alike, you know, the piercings, the tattoos, the clothing, all of it, saying something about their life. And yet, I think one of the things that is really being required of us now is our lifestyle. And I think there's a necessity as we would go home, go back into the routine of really diligently to put that in the forefront of our minds before God. Lord, what is my lifestyle? Is it something that is in accordance to what you're preaching to us right now? And if it is not, then Lord, what is it that I need to do to change the lifestyle? There's something very frightening that is being said that's not being said.
Amen.
Amen. We're very familiar with our word. We're very comfortable with our word. And I don't want to knock that, because that's good in a sense. But if we're asleep and lethargic with regards to the word, then the frightening thing is that there is a repercussion, or there is a consequence for not allowing the word to do what it needs to do in the heart. Amen. You know, I'm a mechanic by trade, and I've discovered that the automobile today is a spiritual mode of operation. And it's, I can break it down into three three basic categories of function. You have all of the hardware of what the car is, okay? Got the body, the wheels, the engine, the steering, everything that makes it do what it's supposed to do at your command. But there's a what they call a PCM, or powertrain control module, or basically a computer that manages everything that the car is doing. And without the PCM, the car is useless. It's a storage unit on wheels. It won't even move, you know, because this thing is very unique in its design. That throughout the operation of the car, in its various functions, you know, powertrain management, you have climate control management, you have ABS, which is the anti-lock brake management. These are all subcategories. Subcategories of what makes the car work. and you have these sensors. And I'll just put down a couple here. There's hundreds of them. That take readings take readings of the operational environment. Okay? And based on what this sensor is reading, it sends a signal to the computer. The computer interprets the signal. And then on the basis of this information, it makes adjustments as necessary to the different components. Let's just say the injector on a fuel injected car. To command the injector when to work. Now you might say, well, what has this got to do with Bible? Hallelujah. This really is a very basic operation of what God wants to do in His body. Amen? This is a very simple, elementary platform, as Brother Jokes would say. Of what he wants to do. But when you look at let's look at a different kind of vehicle. Your body, right? It's a vehicle, right? It's a mode of transportation. Plus one, one. That's one step in front of the other. Amen. It's on a different technological level that's much higher than this, because many of our components are incorporated together, input outputs. You know, your eyeball is a input device, but it's also an output device. Your hands are an input device, right? You touch, you feel, but yet it also has the capability of receiving commands to grab, to hold, to do this and that. And you find that your computer is something of your brain, right? It's the motherboard, so to speak. It's where all the electronic circuitry is and the hardware, as it were. But there's something that is even more central to our correct operation. Amen. This system here is not only designed to make the vehicle operate properly, but it's also designed to detect malfunctions. You know, a little check engine light that comes on? That is a little indicator to tell you, the driver, that there's a problem. Now, sometimes the light comes on and the vehicle doesn't appear to have any problem. It's running the same. It's behaving the same. There doesn't seem to be any impact physically or otherwise. Yet, that's why you need the light. Because sometimes the problem is so fine or so minute, or it's on another frequency that we're unsensitive to, that you need a light to tell you there's a problem. Amen? Hallelujah. So we go to the next level, if you will, of the way this vehicle operates. You have the basic motor skills and the functions and the nervous system. I don't understand all what's in here. You know, I just know when I want to do something, my body automatically responds accordingly to the command. But central to all of it is your heart. Amen. And did you know your heart has a check engine light? And sometimes it illuminates, right? And but because everything appears to be normal, we keep driving. It's called conscience. But if you ignore the conscience, what happens? You begin to destroy the check engine light. Right? And if you destroy the check engine light, how will you ever know when there's really a problem? Amen? You know, there was an interesting thought in Hebrews. It says that we are not as those that draw back unto perdition. Amen. Now I'm driving at the thought here in Numbers. That you are a gift. I am a gift. That God has made to be put into service.
Amen.
Amen. A deployment. Hallelujah. See, Hebrews, it says, is it 10. Say 10 and 37. For yet a little while, he that shall come, and will not tarry. Now the just shall live by faith, but if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. But we are not of them who draw back unto the outer court. Is that what it says? No, it doesn't, does it? Check yourself sometime. Because if we are looking at this, our favorite box, and we know there's only one way in, it would seem logical that if we're not going on, we're going back. Right? But that's not what it says, does it? It says, but we are not of those that draw back unto perdition. Hallelujah. Perdition is the manifestation of Satan in the holy place. Hallelujah. And you can't have perdition without first having the reality of God. Amen? Because the sinner out here, he's of little bother to the devil. He's in darkness. He's already going to hell. Amen? Except for God intervene, he's a low priority in the scheme of devil's plan. Amen? But it's the people that have a knowledge of who God is, right? Or worse yet, from his perspective, a people that have a working reality. That they don't have to stay here and live here, They don't have to stay here and live here, but they have an opportunity to be in here. Amen? So he is going to concentrate his effort on this people, which is you and I. Amen? And we have come to something of a crossroads, if you will, in this place of the holy place, where if he can, the devil, he would turn us off to the left or to the right, if he can. Amen. The question of the if is what lies upon us, right? Which brings us back to lifestyle. Hallelujah. What are we going to do with the word? It was a pretty strong word, wasn't it? Last night was pretty strong, right? But it was a good word. Amen? Because God, when He speaks something to us, it's not as if it's done, it's finished, it's over, you didn't make it. He speaks a word to us because there's something yet in us that can make it.
Amen.
Yes. Amen? But are we willing to give up our lifestyle for the sake of the gospel? Amen? Hallelujah. There's another thought, and I'm just trying to get a hold of it. So you have your heart, right? What is it to say in Proverbs? Keep thy heart with all due diligence. Because why? Because out of it is the issues of life. Hallelujah. This is so marvelous that despite all of the struggles that is happening in these different aspects of my soul, right? There's my heart. And if I can give my heart to God, amen, then the rest of these, they have no choice. Hallelujah. And they'll have to do what my heart wants me to do. Amen. Hallelujah. So, let's check out our hearts with the Word of God. Sometimes we hear things, and it's very strong. The Word of God, very strong. And our human reaction, out of the Spirit reaction, is to know the one who has said what they said after the flesh. You understand what I'm saying? And therefore, start to discredit what was said. But Daniel had a little test to know whether or not what he was doing was of God or not. Amen? In Daniel's situation, he said, "Give us 10 days to prove whether what I am doing is of God or not. Now, you can take that something of the reverse. Sometimes the word comes and it's a hard word and it's hitting something in our heart and the struggle is on, right? And sometimes the flesh is stronger than the spirit. So why can't you take a 10-day trial of period?
Amen.
Apply what God is saying, despite of the struggle,
Amen.
For 10 days.
Amen.
And see if God doesn't speak or show Himself to you as to whether or not it was God.
Amen.
Isn't it simple? Oh. Hallelujah. Whatever it is. Whatever it is. God. I want the heart of David. Amen. But not the problems. Oh. Praise the Lord. You know, in Daniel's situation, it really wasn't the food, you understand.
Right.
It wasn't the power of the food that made him right or wrong. Or made his flesh more healthy than the others. It was a fear of God. And a desire to stay true to God. In spite of the environment he was living in. Right? You know, the Bible says there was Elijah. Right? In the time of Jezebel and Ahab. In the time of when the worship of Baal was most prolific. Right? Does it sound like a familiar time? Does it sound like our time? you can't walk out your door without being confronted with the worship of Baal. Some sort of adoration and act of worship. Giving strength, giving the devil power, right? As the hearts and the minds of the people are being taken over by the beast mentality. Amen. But there was Elijah plus 7,000 others. That the Bible says, did not bow their knee to Baal.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Can we get that resolve today, you think? Can we go home with a new resolve? Not in our intellect, you understand, but in the heart. To be named, to be numbered, to be counted as one that is worthy to be hid. Come on. It wasn't just 7,000 living in apartment complex on whatever, right? But 7,000 that were worthy to be hid and protected and shielded. And covered from the environment of Ahab and Jezebel. Hallelujah. If we can have that resolve, that desire to be counted worthy, to be hid of God in that place as He is spreading His wings even now. Amen. Hallelujah. Because God wants to take us into a new kind of operation. Right? Your body functions much like this automobile. There's these commands and whatnot, inputs and outputs that is working to make you function. And when we come together, as we have for many years, there is a loose cohesiveness. Amen? Of yet a little bit greater function, similar to your body. But many times, the devil has also come. Right? This is when the sons of God gather together. Satan was there also. And he has often wanted to hijack, or they say in the computer world, hack into the computer system. And sometimes he has succeeded, right? He has hacked in and he has loosed a virus. Or he has brought in another program that began to work subvertly, covertly, diverting, subverting. Hallelujah. But one of the things that God said in check was that what he has done in the past, in these gatherings, he is not going to do anymore. Amen? Hallelujah. And I believe it was a word not only for the Czech conference, huh? But it's a word that carries on from now and to forever. Hallelujah. Because there is another kind of operation that God is bringing us to that's called the body of Christ. And I must confess, I don't understand what it is. The more I listen, the more the word is coming, and it is so much of it's coming. Bang, bang, bang. Yes. The more I'm lost. As to what I thought I knew is becoming very minor or minuscule in the depths of what God is pouring out now. And you're feeling behind, left behind. Except for by reason of the anointing.
Hallelujah.
By reason of a right heart. Right? Wherein God is going to look upon the heart, judge the heart, and then anoint the heart with the understanding of this better, more perfect way, updated. I mean, look at the computer world, right? You remember Windows 95? It was fantastic then. Then what was it? Windows 98 or Windows 98. Then they had a bunch of flurry of 2000 and NT and da 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 da. Then XP. Windows 7 now. God wants to give us an upgrade.
Hallelujah.
Amen. He's giving us, he's not want to, he is giving us an upgrade. But you know, it's a selective upgrade. It's an upgrade to whomsoever will. If you want it, you can have it. Hallelujah. You have to buy it. What is it going to cost? Huh? What's it going to cost? He's going to erase the style out of your life and then take the life.
Praise the Lord.
Right? He's going to wipe the hard drive clean. And then he's going to load his operational system up. The heart. Hallelujah. You remember the automobile? This is what he's going to do. Look at this. inputs, right? Outputs. Even this is a pile of useless junk by itself. All this is a box with a circuit board, several circuit boards, loaded with, you know, resistors, transistors, chips, da-da-da-da-da. It's all useless, except for a program that makes it work. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And when you get to the body of Christ, what do you think the program is? I don't know how to draw this. Let's say this is times 144,000. Okay? Multi-membered body, right? Each person represents a vehicle, an operating system. Each of us has our own little computer, right? Hallelujah. And when we're under the unction of the Holy Spirit is managing that computer. Amen? The Holy Spirit is taking in the by inputs, the environment. What is the environment like right now? I'm being confronted by sin, right? So it generates an output. The mind clicks to the crucifixion. Jesus hanging on the cross. The blood dripping down. Huh? Hallelujah. And that thought, then it's like the blood drips into the emotions and then into the desires. Huh? And it brings forth a communication between the mind, the will, the emotions, the desires, that directs the will to avoid the sin. Right? Hallelujah. That's on an individual basis. So if you have this times the body of Christ, the operational, the program is Christ itself. Amen. Right? Hallelujah. And the question we have to ask ourselves, who is Christ? Oh, yeah. Amen? Jesus said, who do you say that I am? Hallelujah. We can answer from the mind. We can answer to some extent from the heart, because there's a reality there, right? But I want to answer not only from my mind or my heart, but I want to answer from my emotions, right? From the desires and from the will in unison. Who Jesus Christ is. Hallelujah. 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 Praise the Lord. So, I don't know about you, but I'm very much encouraged. I'm not excited about going home.
No.
But I'm encouraged of what God is saying.
Yeah.
And the open door that is before us. Amen?
Yeah.
Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Thank you. Praise the Lord. Bless you. Bless you.